Welcome to another edition of The Volunteer State. I'm Blake Topmeyer with John Adams of the Knoxville News Sentinel. And we are looking at the Lady Vols today. Tennessee has renewed its rivalry, at least for a couple years, with UConn. And that game will be coming up on Thursday night in Hartford, Connecticut. I'll be out there to cover that one. Should be exciting to see the rivalry renewed after more than a 10-year hiatus, John. Did you think it would come back after 10 years being dormant?
Yeah, I thought Tennessee and UConn would play in an NCAA tournament at some point, and that would kind of lead to the series being revived. I mean, so much of this was about Gino Auriemma and Pat Summitt, the two legendary coaches. There's a personality conflict there, and I know Pat wasn't happy with some of UConn's recruiting tactics, but I think more than anything, it was just Gino just rubbed her the wrong way. But I still think at some point it would have come back, even if Pat had remained head coach, if she hadn't been stricken with early onset Alzheimer's.
What do you think? You knew Pat Summitt reasonably well from covering her for many, many, many years. What do you think she would think about seeing this rivalry restored?
It's hard to say because she would be looking at it from advantage point of not being the coach. And I think, I just think Pat always thought in terms of the program and she would be out of it. I don't think she would be fixated on this series can't be resumed. I think she would think, okay, I'm away from it now, I'm not involved. And a lot of people might disagree with me on that. But I think Pat was a big picture person. And just all the time that has passed and what's happened to the two programs, she would certainly look and say, well, it hadn't really helped the Lady Vols not to be playing UConn. And I think she would be okay with it.
I was looking back at the history of this rivalry recently, and I was reading a story after the 1995 game, which was the first time these teams met, played in the regular season, and then I believe went on to play again that year in the NCAA tournament. But I was reading the coverage after the regular season game, and Connecticut won that game. And according to the report I read, there was 150 credentialed media at that game. Of course, it was number one versus number two. And UConn at that point thought that win gave them respect as you know, the program on the rise. And then, of course, many great battles ensued to follow over the years. But in its heyday, what do you think this rivalry meant, I guess, A, to each of these programs, but B, maybe in a bigger picture to women's college basketball?
Oh, I just think it meant everything to women's basketball because of the media attention. You not only had two really good programs, you had arguably the best two coaches in the history of the sport. I mean, Gino's won 11 national championships now. Pat won 8. So you had that. You had the coaching matchup. And whereas I say the personality conflict there, women's basketball needed that. It was bigger than what happened during the game, what Gino might say, what Pat's response to that might be. You just had it had all the elements that you don't get that often in sports and much less often in women's basketball. And I know now you can look at it and say, well, there are other really good programs. There are. I mean, South Carolina with Dawn Staley, Mississippi State with Vic Schaefer, and I guess really Notre Dame has had some really good success, not this season, but in seasons past. Baylor would be the closest thing now because mm-hmm. Baylor, Kim Mulkey's won multiple championships, and I think a lot of people, if you get past Pat and Gino, would say Mulkey is number one coach in women's basketball. I feel that way. And I also think Mulkey had a personality. She has a personality that adds something. She's very outspoken. You never know what she might say. But it still doesn't match UConn and the Lady Vols. And for next week, I was working on assembling an 8-person team just between UConn and Tennessee. And if you took that 8-person team, I don't know if anybody else could beat it. Take those players in their prime, mold it into one team, and that's what you got. You had star power, you had legendary coaches, and you had off-the-court stuff. All the elements. I really think it expedited women's basketball, the progress. And one thing I heard a lot about it were guys told me that really didn't, they said they didn't follow women's basketball. But they started following it when Tennessee had its great run in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I had guys tell me, well, they play more like a men's team.
And probably maybe one of the first games they watched, if I had to guess, maybe what drew them into the sport, you got to think they were those types of folks that you're talking
sure.
about watched the Tennessee-UConn game, and that might have helped hook them into the sport.
Yeah, they don't want to watch Tennessee play Ole Miss.
Right.
But you had women players, I think, who played, a lot of them played more like guys. And they were also very competitive. I go back to Diana Taurasi, who might drop an F-bomb during the course of the game, was very loud and just fiery-type personality. And I think that added something to it. You had players like that, Shamiqua Holzclaw at Tennessee. She was so competitive, and those competitive fires were so apparent to anyone watching. I just think that rivalry, it just meant so much to the sport, and I think now it's more fashionable to say, well, other programs are good now. I don't think women's basketball would be where it were if not for UConn versus Tennessee.
Yeah, I think you're probably spot on with that. Gino obviously knows how to needle the Lady Vols and doesn't shy away from that, but he also speaks pretty candidly, I think it's fair to say. And I thought his comments were interesting. Our colleague Jason Munns at the Memphis Commercial Appeal asked Gino a couple questions after UConn's game at Memphis earlier this season about, you know, playing Tennessee and whether the game still means something, whether women's basketball needs this game now. And I'm just going to read you a little bit of what Gino said. He said, quote, "I don't know that Connecticut-Tennessee carries the same significance that it did years ago. I don't feel it. Our fans don't feel it back home. Otherwise, that game would have been sold out 6 months ago, and it's not." And I'll give you another one here. He talked about just how, you know, much of a marquee matchup it was in its heyday. And he said, quote, "There was always 10 players on the floor that were going to be great NBA players. It had all the elements." And then he said, and I thought this was a good quote, "You know, everything's like a Broadway show. It has its run, and then it's got to end. It ended, and I don't know that you're going to get that back." And I thought that was really, really candid, and I think speaks to, I don't know that Gino cares whether this continues beyond its 2-year series or not. I don't think he feels like he needs it. I'm not sure he thinks that the sport needs it anymore. But, you know, I will say, I guess to get technical here, it's a great quote about the whole Broadway show thing.
It's a great quote.
But the Phantom of the Opera has been playing on Broadway since 1988. Like, Cats has been on Broadway forever. The Lion King's been on Broadway forever. So,
is Chorus Line still on Broadway?
I don't know about Chorus Line.
Okay, it was pretty good for a while. No, I see what you're saying.
Things don't have to end, and maybe they weren't, you know, maybe the Phantom of the Opera, maybe seeing Phantom of the Opera now doesn't mean what it would have meant seeing it on Broadway 20 years ago, but point being, some things are so great and so special and so important, they don't have to end.
No, and see, I think to his point is well taken. And I don't think it matters as much anymore.
I think that it's hard to argue that it does. It really is.
But you have, yeah. But if Pat Summitt were still with us, it would matter just as much. See, that's what changed. It's not Pat Summitt versus Gino anymore. I mean, you can look back, and I know Tennessee didn't make the Final Four in the last years of Pat Summitt, but I think some of that had to do with this encroaching illness. I mean, I don't know exactly when that started, when it affected mm-hmm. her. The thing about Pat and the way she sustained so much of her success was because she adapted and adjusted. And she might have not had that capacity. Pat was too competitive. She would, to not be in a Final Four that long, she would have looked at, she would be introspective enough about her opponents and about the situation of her own program. She would look at that and said, why am I not winning, not going to the Final Four? Why can't I win a national championship? And she would have changed. So I think then you still have Phantom of the Opera playing on Broadway.
And you probably can't, like you said, without this being Pat versus Geno, you're probably not going to be able to recapture the magic of what it was. But could you get close if Kelly Harper were to elevate the Lady Vols as a perennial top 10 program and being back into a national powerhouse? Geno keeps UConn into a perennial national power. You're not going to create the Pat versus Geno magic, but could you get close if the Lady Vols are restored as a team that annually is competing for Elite Eight Final Four appearances alongside Connecticut?
I don't think so, Blake, because I think now you have programs like Oregon's and Notre Dame, though having an off year now, Mississippi State, South Carolina, programs that are on pretty solid footing. I just think it's a little different. You say if Tennessee were in Elite Eights and mm-hmm. Final Fours, there's a big difference in being Elite Eights. And I mean, a lot of Tennessee teams, that used to be a failing. Oh, you only made the Elite Eight. Mm-hmm. You didn't make it to the Final Four. The season was a failure. I think you would have to be winning championships. I think, and I don't know that UConn, I don't know how much longer Geno will coach, but I don't think more than 3 or 4 more years. So, no, I don't think that will happen.
So you kind of are probably in line with what Geno is saying there, maybe, of like, this was a great thing when it happened. There's not the same feeling anymore. It's a Broadway show that ran its course.
Well, think about it. If Pat Summitt's not, Pat Summitt was Tennessee women's basketball. I mean, she was bigger than the program. Geno, what was UConn before Geno came? I mean, he's the program, and once he's gone, I don't think UConn will have anywhere near the success. I mean, it's about a person. It's not about the program.
So Geno clearly, you know, should he want to play the Lady Vols, I don't know that we've covered this. I don't know that he cares one way or the other at this juncture in this stage, and maybe he shouldn't. If you're Kelly Harper, if you're the Lady Vols program, should they want to play Connecticut annually? Does Kelly Harper benefit from playing Geno in Connecticut on an annual basis beyond this 2-year series?
Oh, definitely. And multiple reasons. One, it gives her an indicator of where her team is. That's something Tennessee has lacked. UConn has been so good for so long now. You really didn't, no other team could expose your frailties than UConn on a consistent basis, so you lose that. And I think also it puts you up on higher ground nationally. If you're playing UConn every year, it's like, yeah, UConn thinks Tennessee is relevant. UConn's at a disadvantage in its conference. It plays nobody. Mm-hmm. In the conference, it's not competitive, so it goes out of its way. It wants to play Oregon and Baylor in South Carolina. It wants to play teams that it may have a rematch against in the Final Four. So if it says, hey, we want to play Tennessee, then that's a great testament to Tennessee's program. It would mean everything to Tennessee to play UConn now, but it just doesn't mean as much to UConn.
It would, I guess, legitimize what Kelly Harper's doing if it got
to, yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
See, I guess I'd take a different stance. If I think in any sport, particularly one where with women's basketball, I think it needs rivalries, and so I think even in a reduced state, I think that the sport and the programs would benefit even UConn, and not just Tennessee. I think both programs would benefit because you talk about, you know, how long's UConn going to be what it is under Geno? Well, if you continue to act like you're a big deal, then I think you can continue to maybe convince people you are a big deal and increase the chances that you are. And so I think if you keep promoting this rivalry and trying to send the narrative that it's Tennessee versus UConn or UConn versus Tennessee, you know, I think that might preserve the mystique a little bit more and help you survive a coaching change a little bit better. Not that you can, I mean, I think you're spot on. You can't replicate Pat and Geno, but perhaps you could create the next best thing.
Yeah, I guess I come, you know, I'm biased because I watched this rivalry develop. I saw it in its infancy. And then I watched all those games that meant so much. And I never covered another women's basketball game where I had the same sense of anticipation going into a game as when UConn and Tennessee were on the court, when Geno was on one bench and Pat was on the other. And nothing compares to that. And when I watch other teams play, I mean, if Baylor's playing Oregon or South Carolina's playing UConn, I know it's a big game, but I just think the history and the personalities put that above everything else. And I'm not sure. Eventually there may be a rivalry comparable, but it'll take a lot of years, a long time. It'll take, you know, some really big personalities. I mean, there's nobody right now, I would say, other than Kim Mulkey, who could reach that level, Kim Mulkey at Baylor.
Would you compare this? It's hard to make cross-sport comparisons, but can you compare Lady Vols and UConn in its heyday to something else you've seen or covered in sports in terms of, you know, two rivals like that and what they meant to the game going head-to-head?
You know, going way back, I mean, I used to cover a lot of boxing, mm-hmm. I'd covered two or three boxing, heavyweight boxing bouts and some welterweights, like when Sugar Ray Leonard and Marvin Hagler fought, those kind of, I would get that same sense of anticipation back then. You know, in college football, you have more teams winning. So it's not that sustained rivalry, but some of those championship fights, those are things that's something that came to mind. I just thought this rivalry, and I know it doesn't have the universal popularity. I'm not trying to say that right. A ladies basketball game compared to when boxing was big time and you had one of those big fights or college football championship game. When you have some of these rivalries, you know, Alabama and LSU in the same division now, it's a greatly anticipated matchup, but there was just something about that rivalry. And again, I'm seeing it. I'm biased because I was seeing it with the team I covered on a regular basis. But I'm trying to think of Tennessee and other rivalries. Tennessee and Kentucky in men's basketball. Tennessee's done pretty well against Kentucky, but so many times it was in a big underdog or Tennessee versus Alabama. Tennessee's usually an underdog now. For a long time it has been.
And neither of those opponents would consider Tennessee its biggest rival. You know, Kentucky men's basketball, it's not considering Tennessee its biggest rival. Alabama football for a long time has not considered Tennessee its biggest rival. And I think, you know, that's maybe a difference here of, I mean, I'm not wrong to say when this rivalry was in its heyday, was the other's biggest rival, pretty undeniably.
It was just like, I go back to that boxing analogy, when there were very few people at the top.
Mm-hmm. I think the boxing, that feels really good. That feels like a strong comparison there, because you mentioned the personalities and how big the personalities of Geno and Pat were and what they meant to this. And boxing's got a lot of those big personalities and the consistency there. You know, I mean, the players, would change. But that's the beauty of women's basketball, too. You know, you got players for a four-year run, whereas some other sports, football and men's basketball, maybe they only had a year or two where they were in, you know, starring roles and rivalry. Women's basketball, you know, some of the biggest names in this rivalry were part of it for prominent pieces of it, right, for 4 years.
Sure.
And then you had the big personalities at coach that were part of it. And so it does feel like it transcends a lot of, you know, other rivalries, because you don't have those big personalities maybe, or you don't have the consistency in the players year after year.
Yeah, that's a great point, because when you watch Diana Taurasi as a freshman at UConn, or you watch Shamiqua Holzclaw as a freshman at Tennessee, UConn knows it's got to play against her three more years. In Tennessee, oh my gosh, we got to face Taurasi three more years. It's like she's a integral part of the program, not just somebody passing through, because if it was the same way as in the men's game, Holzclaw would have played 1 year at Tennessee.
Right.
Taurasi would have played 1 year at UConn. So that's a great point.
Well, the rivalry renews in its current state on Thursday night. Tennessee will play at UConn before the Huskies make the return trip next year, and it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds.
It won't be the same, but it'll still be interesting.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Volunteer State.
Hi, I'm Mike Wilson, and I cover Tennessee basketball for Knox News. One thing I love about my job is being able to bring unique stories about the Tennessee basketball team to light. Every day I get to do this through the relationships built, and it's awesome because these players and the team is more than just the games that you see on the court at Thompson Bowling Arena. Without the support of Knox News, I would never be able to do this rewarding job that I love. If you want to hear more stories like this, consider becoming a subscriber by going to knoxnews.com/subscribe. Thank you for listening, and thank you for reading.